Well, good morning to you. Happy 2017. Some of you don't look a day older than you did last year. Of course, that was yesterday. Last year was yesterday, so. Listen, I'm excited about 2017. We survived Y2K. And it's been 17 years. You know, there's people in this room that don't even know what I'm talking about, Y2K. If you're here and you're under age 17, you don't know what that's about. That massive storehouse of water and canned goods in your grandparents' basement, just ask them about that. Well, let me tell you, I'm excited about 2017 in a way that is unique. And perhaps in a way that I've never been excited about an upcoming year before. Personally, for myself and for my marriage, for my family, and for our church and for our city, I'm excited about what God is going to do in our church in 2017. And then the new year, listen, it's just another day, but God works in times and seasons, and the new year does seem to represent fresh hope. And God wants us to acknowledge, and I love what Pastor Eli was sharing this morning as part of our communion, that God's mercies are new every day. And so there is something, while it's just another day in God's economy, God moves in times and seasons, there is an opportunity for us in a fresh way, in a new way, to rededicate ourselves to some things, to press into God in some certain ways. Listen, God, we seem to realize that as we step into a new year. I believe God wants us to live that way every day. That every day we would wake up and say, God, this is a new day. The failures of my yesterday are covered by the mercies of God for today. And that if we'll begin to live that way, we'll stay on task and we'll stay on track with God's purposes and plans for our life in a better way, in a closer way than we ever have before. Listen, God's mercies are not new when Dick Clark drops the Big Apple. God's mercies are new every day. So while there's something significant about a new calendar, a fresh start, God wants us to live with fresh expectation and anticipation for what he's going to do every day in our life. And so this week is Activate Week, and beginning tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. and then at noon and then at 5, we'll have those call times of prayer. And I want to invite you to this. Listen, sometimes to get new results in our life, we need to try new things. And so I want to invite you. For some of you, it's just going to be a continuation of something you've already apprehended in your lifestyle. For some of you, it's a new opportunity and a new day to begin to walk in some new ways. And so I want to invite you, look into your calendar, look into your week, look for times that you can circle in your calendar, set alarms, make it a priority to come and be here with the people that are gathered to pray and to call upon God. I want to encourage you with the invitation to fasting. That there is it's an opportunity to set some things aside, to prioritize God. That fasting is used in God's word, and when people of God fasted in the Bible, it was to experience more of God, or to overcome challenges, or to experience breakthroughs. And so it's setting aside some things in the natural to intentionally pursue more of the spiritual, more of Jesus. It's saying, I'm going to do with less of something that I normally crave in my physical appetite, foods and entertainment and media, those kind of things. I'm setting those things aside for certain times to intentionally say, Jesus, you're what I want more than anything else in the whole world. So fasting it's more than just doing without or suffering without something. It's about prioritizing time. It's about prioritizing attention to our relationship with God. So biblically, fasting was used of God to bring about breakthroughs in the life of God's people. And I just want to share with you, these are reminders. For some of you, again, this is something new that you can step into in your faith that I believe will bring breakthrough in your life. And in the Bible, when the disciples were frustrated with limited results in their ministry, Jesus encouraged them to fast and pray, Matthew 17. When Ezra, these are biblical examples of how fasting was used of God. When Ezra faced an uncertain financial future, he sought God through a fast and God provided. When Israel was facing an attack from the Palestinian enemies, Samuel called for a fast, leading to national revival. when Elijah had been confronted by the spirit of Jezebel and found himself discouraged and depressed and even facing suicidal thoughts, an angel of God came to him, called him back to a journey into God's presence, and he fasted, and God delivered him from depression and fear and suicidal thoughts. In 1 Kings 17, the widow fasted her own meal so that the prophet could eat, and God multiplied her one remaining meal, her final provision, to over 3.5 years of provision. When Saul was blind and searching for the direction of God, he fasted for 3 days, God's word said. God changed his heart and his name and made him one of the most influential Christian leaders to ever walk the face of the earth. When the early disciples were ministering to the Lord and fasting in Acts chapter 13, God spoke and he called people, set people apart to special purposes and ministries. John the Baptist fasted often. He was used to prepare the way of the Lord. Esther fasted and she and her family received God's divine protection from those who sought their lives. Jesus fasted and discovered and experienced the strength of God to stand as fully man against the lies, deceptions, temptations of the enemy that were coming against him to try to keep him from fulfilling his God-given purpose. Listen, if you need freedom, healing, breakthrough, direction to hear from God, I invite you this week to step into and experience the power and the purpose of prayer and fasting. So some practical advice. For some of you, it'll be maybe certain foods. Some of you might even be called to do, for a number of days this week, all foods entirely. But that's not necessary. It could be certain meals throughout the day, throughout the week. Maybe there's certain meals you look at and you say, I'm fasting this meal. And instead of going to Jimmy John's, I'm going to the church to pray at lunch. Instead of going to that breakfast time that I normally go and have, or making that stop for coffee or whatever, I'm going to the church, and I'm going to do without that certain thing so that I can spend that time intentionally pursuing God. Listen, maybe it's forsaking some social forms of social media this week. Dun, dun, dun. Some of you are like, I'd rather fast food, brother. But listen, that's something that's constantly clamoring for our time and our attention. So maybe this week there's a kind of a setting aside of some devices and some phones that are, and you lock it up and put it in a drawer, and you spend that time seeking God and praying and worshiping and calling upon God. You're fasting something that your flesh desires to show God that he's what you want more than anything. And I believe that it's going to bring breakthrough. So the new year is here. And it's an opportunity to appreciate and celebrate God's faithfulness. It's an opportunity to dedicate our hearts, our marriages, our families, our work, what God's called you to in 2017, to the Lord. It's an opportunity in the light of God's grace, in an atmosphere of grace and growth. I speak about that often. It's the atmosphere we desire to be present in this church. Grace and growth. Grace that covers our sins but compels us to grow in God. In the light of that kind of grace, it's an opportunity to acknowledge the challenges of 2016. The areas where we can improve. The areas where we can do better. The areas where we can be better. The areas where we can draw closer to God. Listen, God is building your life. And he's a master builder. And he's a wise builder. And God intends to build something amazing in your life, but before God builds upward, he digs deep. God is laying foundations in your life. He's laying foundations in our church. He cares about what is seen on the outside, and he cares about what is unseen, the challenges, the areas of doubt, the areas of fear, the struggles in your heart, the struggles in your mind, the struggles in relationships. He cares about those things that are unseen. He cares about the foundations of your life. And in those areas, in 2017, I sense a fresh opportunity to embrace grace, to see change, an atmosphere of grace and growth. He wants to do something. I believe it with all my heart. He wants to do something so special and significant in your life, but he wants it to be lasting. He wants to move generationally in your life. And what he's doing in you in this day, in your heart and in your home and in your marriage and your family, it's intended by God to not just be short-lived, but to last generationally. It's about a legacy that we hand off to our children and our grandchildren that are even yet to be seen in our lives, a legacy of serving God, a heritage of faith. And he's desiring for that to be extended beyond our own selves. So in 2017, embrace the voice, the hand, the work of God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, who you were in 2016 is not who he desires for you to be in 2017. Let me say it again. Who you were in 2016 is not who he desires you to be in 2017. whatever chapter you find yourself in, whatever chapter in the story of your life you're in, perhaps it's a chapter of challenges, perhaps it's a chapter of successes. Let me encourage you this morning, don't get stuck. If you're in a challenging season, listen, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep moving. God's got a new day. He's got a new season. He's got a new chapter. Turn the page. In the places where you're experiencing victory, if you find yourself in a chapter of victory, be grateful, be thankful to God, but don't settle. That's just part of the foundation that he's laying for the greater things, for the more that he desires to do in your life. God intends for you and I as his people to grow from strength to strength, according to Psalm 84, verse 5 and 7. I think they have those scriptures to put up there for you. He intends for us to grow from glory to glory with Jesus as our example. And we can be confident, according to Philippians chapter 1, that God, who began the good work in us, will continue it and carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Listen, the new year is an opportunity to embrace grace and embrace growth and embrace God working and moving in our life to lay foundations for the thing that he desires to do in us, for us, and through us. The new year is an opportunity to embrace the growth and expansion of God's kingdom in our lives. And Isaiah 54, verse 1 through 5 speaks to this, and it says, "Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who never were in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, declares the Lord." This is just establishing that what I'm about to do in your life, what I'm about to do in this church, what I'm about to do in this city is not by your own might or your own strength. It'll confound the wisdom of the world. That's a supernatural work. It's a spiritual work. It's God coming and doing his part as we're faithful to do our part. And it goes on and says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in the desolates. Be afraid, you will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood, for your maker is your husband. He's your provision," it's saying. "The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." Listen, in each of our lives and corporately as a church, God is speaking hope. He's speaking courage. He's bringing new, fresh faith for what he wants to do in us, for us, and through us. He's restoring hopes. He's restoring dreams. I believe it with all my heart as we enter into 2017. It's an opportunity for each of us personally. And as we're united together as the people of God in this place, he desires to expand our vision, broaden our horizons, show us the more of what he desires to do in us and through us. I believe it with all my heart. Listen, in 2017, there's some exciting things that God is calling us to. It's part of my message today. I'm introducing some significant things to us as a church family. And one of them is a couple times throughout the last couple months, I've asked you to pray for us as a staff and as a leadership team as we pursued plans for a renovation of our facility. And I'm encouraged and excited to announce to you this morning that we have obtained the services of a local architecture firm to begin to help us with that process. We have a desire to steward our facility and keep it the most excellent that we possibly can so that it's pleasing to God and so that it's helpful and effective in helping us to reach and gather and assimilate more people. And so it's going to be an exciting process. I'm so grateful and thankful for the faith that's rising in our eldership to say, you know, if we're going to do this, let's believe God for the provision to do it right. And let's acquire the services of a professional company that can come and begin to help us with design and work with us as a staff and work with us as a church to begin to address some issues and begin to look out ahead and say, what would God, if God began and continued to move in a mighty way, what would our property look like in 5 years or 10 years? And it starts with us stewarding the facility that we're so blessed to have right now. And so we're going to go all throughout this facility from the foyer and the kitchen and the hallways and this sanctuary right here. And perhaps most importantly, our children's space. And we're going to completely renovate and update and improve it so that it's the most excellent that it can be and the most enjoyable that it can be for you and for your family and for our children and for the people that we're yet to reach. And so stay tuned. We'll be bringing details to you. I'm hopeful that they'll come and they'll be here with us on a Sunday morning to present some things and to give you an opportunity to maybe rub elbows with them and share some thoughts or ask some questions. Maybe we'll be engaging with some of you that serve strategically in certain areas to say, what would you like it to look like? What are some challenges that you're currently facing and how could we address it as we enter into this process? So God's bringing faith
And he's calling us, as I've been preaching in the last few weeks, to walk it out in an active way. So God's speaking, active faith, faith in action. It's what he's calling us to do. And it's corporate in our church, and it's personal for you and me. Listen, every person realizing that they have a purpose in God's kingdom. Listen, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I don't care what it is that God's called you to put your hands to. Just for an example, I'll say you're a school teacher. Listen, you have a mission just the same as a teacher in our community, as someone that's called to South America, Africa, China, or the Middle East. It's a different kind of a mission. It'll require different efforts and different strategies and different language, but God's placed you in that place to bring about the light of his kingdom, to make a difference in the lives of the people where God has placed you. Listen, as a person and as your pastor, I want our church to be found squarely in the plans and purposes of God, in the move of God today. I don't want to miss it because I'm on the sidelines. I don't want our church to miss it because we're on the sidelines. We want to sense and hear God, hear his voice, hear the timing of God. But I'm challenging you that I want us to dream big. And when God begins to speak, like he's speaking to our eldership regarding the renovation of this facility and some other things I'm going to share with you today, I hope that faith is in place for us to begin to step out and step forward and begin to move into the things of God. Listen, if we miss it, if I miss it as a person, and if we miss it as a church, I want us to fail forward. I don't want to fail. I don't want to be counted as a failure because of inaction that would be caused by doubt or selfishness or fear. And listen to me this morning. You miss 100% of the shots that you never take. And God's calling us. I sense that God's just speaking to us. Maybe this morning you're here and you say, I've missed a few shots in 2016. And I sense God just coming alongside of us, and he's steadying our arm, and he's improving our posture before him. And he's saying, keep shooting. Keep shooting. I'm with you and I'm for you. I know you missed a few shots in 2016, but I'm showing you the new and better way, and I'm challenging you to keep shooting. Come on, in Lawrence, a basketball analogy ought to work. That ought to land in some hearts right there. You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. And we're the people of God. We are called by his name. We're empowered by his spirit. His word says he's with us and he's for us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? I recently heard someone ask a question that really challenged me, and I want to ask it of you this morning. When's the last time that you tried something for the first time? When's the last time that you tried something for the first time? And some of our business out into some new things. But for some of you, you've maybe allowed the shots that have been in and out, the shots that you knew when they left your hand, they were gonna sink and they were gonna win the game, and they circled around the rim or they rattled out of the rim, and you've allowed some of those things to speak to you and cause you to shrink back or doubt God, or fear and insecurity has crept in. And I believe God's challenging us to begin to experience a walk in fresh and new measures and levels of faith in 2017. When's the last time you tried something for the first time? And then recently I saw an interview, and it was with a highly successful businesswoman. She's a CEO of a major company here in the United States. And she was one that I'd never heard of before, but I really was fascinated and enjoyed hearing her talk. And they were talking to her about some of the secrets to her success, some of the keys to her success. And she began to talk about how she owed much of her success in life to her father, and some of the ways that he challenged her and raised her. She said, every week my dad would gather us as children and he would spend time with us. And one of the things that he would ask us is he would say, son, or he would say, daughter, what did you fail at this week? Many of us hear that, and we hear it from a perspective of a heavy-handed dad that was going to chastise us or discipline us for our failures or our shortcomings. But she saw the wrinkle in the story is that he had a different perspective. And when he would gather them, he would say, what did you fail at this week? He expected them to have an answer. And the only way that he was disappointed with them is if they didn't have an answer. You see, this father was raising his children to dream big and think big and to see new things and to be courageous and to be adventurous and to step out in faith and to try new things, that he expected them every week to be doing something and stepping out into something that challenged their boundaries, that pushed their horizons, that challenged their abilities, that caused them to have to dream and dare and believe for God to show up in their life, because it was something that they couldn't do in their own strength. It was something that they had never done before. And so he would say, where did you fail this week? And he expected them to have an answer. And it created a perspective in her that caused her to see challenges as possibilities, that caused her to not shrink back from some new things. And it led her into a very successful career and a very prosperous life. When's the last time that you tried something for the first time? Listen, God is calling us in the same way that father was speaking to those kids, to live courageously, to dream daring dreams, to not allow fear of failure to cause us to hold back or shrink back or shy away from what God's speaking and what God's doing. He's calling us to a life of active faith. He's calling us to be difference makers in our community and in the world today. Listen, to understand what God wants to reveal through us, we need to be faithful with what God has already given to us. Let me say it another way. The pathway to the next and the new of God is the faithfulness with the now of God. The pathway to the new and the next of God is faithfulness with the now of God. Come on, that's good. Someone ought to write that down. Someone ought to tweet that out. I said that the other day, and someone actually did it. I saw it on my Twitter feed. I was like, whoa, hey. The pathway to the new and the next of God is faithfulness with the now of God, what God's put in your hand, what God's already called you to, where God's already placed you. There's some new things. There's some next things. The pathway to connect to it and experience it and enjoy it is faithfulness with what God's put in your hand right now. Listen, in our church, the same is true. God's called us to be faithful with what he's already blessed us with. The facility, the people, the vision, the opportunity, the influence. But I believe God is imparting a big vision, a significant vision for how our church family will impact and change the world. He's speaking it into our eldership that we really will be a church that sees people become fully alive and shining brightly in God's purposes for their life. We really will be a church that inspires and equips and empowers world changers for Jesus Christ. We really will be a church that brings transformation to our city, that brings life and hope and freedom to our city, and that the life that happens starting in this place, God's spoken to me. He said, I'm calling the church to be an epicenter of revival, a reactor for an uprising of God's love and power. That what happens here, what starts in Lawrence, I believe it with all my heart that he's speaking to us and he's releasing fresh faith and new faith, that what he does in this place is then called to begin to have an outward effect, and that we're called to reach the city of Topeka, and that we're called to reach the city of Kansas City, and that we're called to go beyond even Kansas City and begin to reach out and make an impact in the world, that we're called to a regional influence, and that as we raise up and train up and disciple you and the person to your left and the person to your right and the people that are yet to join with us to discover and encounter the fullness of what God desires to do in their life and through them and for them, that we really will train up world changers for Jesus, that there will be precious people that come to the University of Kansas, they think to get their doctorate, but they'll really be coming to discover the mission of that God has for them as they're sent back into the nation of China, that God will raise up young people to discover that God has a call of God on their life and some fear, and that we'll begin to see it, like I just spoke about a moment ago, differently, that we won't just see missionaries as those who are called to go to Latin America or called to go to Asia, but we'll see that God has every one of us as a son and a daughter and as a believer and as a disciple on a mission to bring about the kingdom of God where he's already placed us. I believe that we'll train up leaders. I believe that we'll train up pastors. I believe that we'll then come alongside them. And I'm talking visionary here. This could be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. God will be responsible for the timing. We'll be responsible to walk it out in faith. But I think it's significant and important to begin to speak it into the atmosphere of our church and begin to document some things and write it down like the book of Habakkuk says, so that the reader might read it and begin to have anticipation to begin to run with it. I believe God will call us to begin to train up and raise up and disciple leaders to and then walk with them to go and plant churches and strategic cities throughout America that will be used of God to bring about a revolution of faith and family and freedom and godliness, to bring Jesus back front and center in our nation. I believe it will result in a network of churches, a family of churches and pastors and leaders. I believe that God's called us to be forerunners and to lean forward and to be creative in the area of worship. I believe that he is building a team here, and I believe that he will release an anointing for new songs. He's already doing it. I believe there will be creative sounds of worship that will be recorded and released. I believe he's called us to be forerunners in the area of media, to use creative media in creative and innovative ways to reach people with the unchanging message of Jesus Christ. I believe that he'll put messages in the hearts of people that will be pinned into books, in our staff and in you as church members, that will be released and will impact people's hearts all around the world. I believe that he will raise up people, men and women of God, to begin to be released, to courageously answer the call of God, to begin to step into places in government, both locally and at a county level and at a state level and even at national level. I believe that God is training up and releasing people to ministries in the marketplace, that the same anointing that God delivered to Joseph to see and discern times and seasons in the area of the economy and in the area of the marketplace, that there's going to be a God-given grace upon their life to begin to, in a godly way, with the desire to see biblical prosperity enter into lives and families in our city and in our churches, that God's going to release and call and anoint people to that Joseph-type anointing in the marketplace. Listen, I believe that this and so much more is what God desires to do in our midst, and I believe that it can and will happen from Lawrence, Kansas. Listen, as some people may doubt, the spirit of doubt might even come against us. And I just remind you, they said the same thing about Jesus. Could anything good really come from Nazareth? And I'm challenging you. I believe that Lawrence, Kansas is a strategic city in the plans of God. So God's bringing about increasing measures of faith for our future, but it must be an act of faith. We must be not just hearers, but doers of what God speaks and what God shows us. Listen, to step into the more that God has in store, we must embrace the new that God is calling us to. That's another thing that someone ought to write down. To step into the more that God has in store, we must embrace the new that God is calling us to. Listen, to get some different results in your life, to get some new measures and levels of victory and freedom, God might be calling you to step into some new things. God might be calling you, as we turn the calendar to 2017, to break loose of some previous patterns and habits and disciplines, and he might be calling you to embrace some new things, to step into the more that God has in store. We must embrace the new that God is calling us to. And listen, in our church, in our lives, in our businesses, sometimes to experience the new results that God desires to deliver to us, it'll call us to embrace some new ideas, some new directions. And hear me this morning, we serve the God that never changes, but at the same time says he's making all things new. Revelation 21, verse 5, he said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And some things, hear me, there's a balance of consistency and the new. Some things will never change. Jesus is the center of our faith. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. God's word is the foundation of our lives and our ministries and our messages. Family and relationship is a centerpiece of our vision and of our purpose. Some things must never change. And in some ways, some things need to be recaptured or restored. Reverence for God, the anointing and power and infilling of the Holy Spirit that leads us to wonders and miracles. And in some ways, to be in the center of what God is desiring to do today, we are going to have to courageously embrace some new things, some change. We have to be welcome to embrace the new of God. In Isaiah 53, verse 15 through 19, it says, "This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." God said, "The way I did it before, the way I delivered you before, the way I saw you through before, it was a good thing, and it was the way I did it previously, but now I'm doing something new. I'm leading you into a new season. Some things will never change, but some things, as it regards the style and as it regards the strategies and it regards the way that you implement things, God's calling us to some new paradigms." So in a season where faith is rising, in my heart and in the heart of our eldership and throughout our church, I hope and pray, in a season where momentum is beginning to build and vision is expanding and increasing, there will come the call and the need to embrace some adjustments and some changes and some new. And so as God's been increasing that faith, and it's been in a unified way, and especially in our eldership, I'm just so just grateful for the men of God that I'm blessed to serve with. And it's been special what he's been doing about building our faith, about what he desires to do in our lives and through this amazing church. And he's begun to speak into some things that are significant regarding the future of our church. And he's been reminding us about some things that he's been speaking into the eldership of this church for several years. And so I'm about to share something with you that's significant but exciting. And, you know, our church has a very unique name, Mustard Seed Church. And I recently had an opportunity to have lunch with Bob Mendelsohn. That's a fascinating guy. Those of you that know him, he was involved in the early beginnings of the Mustard Seed Church. And he was just, he and Eli and I were having lunch, and he was just talking and sharing, and I was just gleaning as much as I could from him. And he said, you know, we were just a few guys just gathering and just excited. We had been filled with God's Spirit, and we just believed that whatever God said in his word, he was willing to do. And he said, one morning I was having my Bible study, and I came across the passage about the mustard seed. And he said, that sounds like a good name for what we're doing. And he said, so I went to the store, and I got a rubber stamp, and I just began to stamp it on the back of all the tracts that we were giving out. And the other two guys that were with me came and said, what's that? And he said, it's the name of what we're doing. And they said, okay, you know, that's fine. And he said, I believe that God called us to call it the mustard seed because we were just a few guys, and we believe that what was starting small was intended to grow big. So for several years, there's been prayerful discussion. Listen, this is significant what I'm sharing with you, but it's important to the heart of God. It's important to the heart of our eldership. There's been a prayerful discussion about the possibility of a new name for our amazing church. And in the past year, our eldership have been praying. We're taking it to heart. We've been praying, and we've been diligently seeking and discussing, seeking God regarding this issue that, again, God's been speaking for a number of years. And we take it very sincerely, the opportunity, the privilege, the responsibility that it is to seek God for the future and the vision and the direction of our church family. And we desire to hear from God. We desire for it to not just be a good idea or the ideas of man. We desire for God to really speak into the unity of our eldership regarding his heart, his ways, his purposes, his plans for the future of our church. And so because we understand the significance of what God's been speaking to us, I felt it important to begin to communicate with you, to begin to share with you today, that through an abundance of prayer and discussion and a resulting strong sense of unity and peace and direction, along with apostolic direction and prophetic confirmation, people that have spoken into this apostolically and prophetically. And I spent time with Pastor Peter this last week just gaining his perspective and gaining his input and valuing anything that he would have from God to share with me as I represented our eldership. And with all that having taken place, and I'm telling you, in an abundance of peace that only God could bring, I'm announcing to you today that our eldership believes that part of our mission in 2017 is to prayerfully seek God for the new name by which our amazing church will be known in the next season of our vision, mission, and ministry. And I understand that what I'm sharing today is significant, and God's been speaking into it for a number of years, and I'm asking you today, I'm sharing it with you today, so that you can do several things, so that you can begin to patiently pray. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for our elders? Would you pray for our leadership team? Would you pray that God will continue to speak to me? Will you pray that God will continue to speak to our eldership? Will you pray that God would give us wisdom? Would you pray that God would continue to speak, that we would hear, be graced to hear him clearly? Would you pray that our faith would remain strong and unshaken as we endeavor to lead our church courageously into what he's calling us to do? Would you pray for faith in our congregation to see and hear the Lord at work through this process? Would you pray with me for hearts to be and to remain settled? Listen, what I understand, that what I'm sharing is significant, and that change, sometimes especially change like this that touches something that's near and dear to us, can be challenging. It can be difficult. But here's what I believe, that when God is in the midst of the change, that when God is speaking and when God is leading and when God is directing something new like this, it's because he has something in mind. It's because he's preparing us and he's shaping us to become prepared and to become shaped and become the most effective for the future purposes that he has for us. And so thank you for prayer, for patiently praying for us as we endeavor to see God. We don't know what it's going to look like or what it's going to be, but we desire to hear from God. And when God speaks and when God begins to reveal to us, we'll begin to come and we'll begin to, in an excited way, begin to share with you what he's sharing with us. Listen, there's a peace that surpasses understanding in our eldership. There's an expectation and a sense of anticipation for what God is going to speak that we believe can only come from God. And listen, God works in times and in seasons, and he works generationally. And I believe that the mustard seed was prophetically named for a season. And that just as the Gospel of Luke reveals, what begins as a seed that God is planting it to grow it, to become a place of refuge and hope for many people in many cities. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like, and what shall I compare it to?" And then he answered his own question. He said, "It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and he planted it in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and many birds perched in its branches." And listen, the tree that God is building through our church family, and can I go ahead and ask the whole worship team to come back up this morning? I want us to close with a song of praise. The tree that God's building will forever be connected to the DNA of the seed. Hear me this morning. It's a pattern in God's kingdom. It's a pattern in God's creation that a seed becomes a tree that bears a seed, that bears a tree, that bears a seed, that bears a tree, that bears a seed, that bears a tree, that bears a seed. So what God's doing in our midst, it's not the first time that there will be adjustment or change or him speaking into the, that we were just praying this morning for our services and just realizing that the three young guys that just happened to be there this morning in our prayer time that were around that table, that someday there would be a day when faces and names and people that are not with us will be sitting around that same table seeking and hearing God for the purposes and plans of God for this church, for their generation. So thank you for praying for us. Listen, names are significant to God. Because you might say, well, what's it matter? Listen, names are significant to God. And God, many times in his word, delivered a new name. It's in association with confirming a new season, a new identity, a new purpose. He often brought about a new name. Isaiah 62:2 says, "The nations shall see your righteousness. All the kings will see your glory. You shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give." That's the heart of our eldership in this season, to hear from God. Revelation 3, verse 12 says, "To the one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in my temple. In the temple of God, I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the new city of my God, and I will write my own new name upon him." Revelation 2 tells us that God has a new and unique name waiting for you in heaven. "To the one who is victorious, I will give him hidden manna. I will give him a white stone inscribed with a new name, known only to the one who receives it." Throughout the word of God, in the lives of precious people that were entering into a new season of purpose and calling, God delivered a new name. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Jacob became Israel. Simon became Peter, and Saul became Paul. And listen to me this morning. I believe that while God is obviously speaking to us corporately in a significant way, I believe that this is prophetically a year for us individually to embrace a new name in your life. Hear me, that spiritually and prophetically, there's a grace in this season because of what God's speaking and what God's doing to embrace some new names. Listen, we serve the God that is above every name. Every situation, every circumstance, every diagnosis, every lie, every false identity, every scheme of the enemy has been given a name. And Jesus is a name above every name. I believe that prophetically and spiritually, again, there's a grace of God in this season to identify some names that have perhaps become attached to you or become branded upon you that God in this season of grace would like to remove from you and replace with his chosen name for who he's called you to be and what he's called you to become, what he's called you to do. There can be identities and limitations that the Lord would like, that the enemy would like to brand us with. And would you begin, as we prepare to close in praise, would you stand to your feet this morning just to activate your faith? Hear me this morning. Because of sin, because of challenges, because of difficulties, because of those shots that you took that rimmed out, the enemy can come and he can try to attach names to us. He tries to hang things around our neck. He tries to saddle us with burdens of guilt and shame and condemnation. He tries to attach things to us like an imprint on our soul, like a scarlet letter. And I want to ask you this morning, what are those names? What are those schemes? What are those challenges? What are those areas? What are those things that the enemy has come and put a name upon you that is not the ideal of God for you? This is a year to embrace grace for a new name. When the reality of who Jesus was and is became real to Simon, he became the rock. When God got a hold of Saul, the persecutor of the church, he became known as Paul, the apostolic voice to the early church. And today, I believe it. When we're in our life, when the revelation of Jesus and all that he is and all that he desires to do becomes front and center, just as it did in Simon's life. Those titles and those names that what we were once known as in a previous life or because of previous seasons or because of previous sins or because of previous challenges, God begins to speak and he begins to say, you were once Simon, but you are now Peter. You were once Saul, but you are now Paul. He begins to speak and he begins to say, you were once unclean and dirty, covered with the weight of sin. You're now made clean and made whole. You were once guilty and you're now forgiven. You were once ashamed. You're now alive and shining brightly. You were once sick and you are now healed. You were once anxious. You're now filled with peace. You were once rejected and you're now accepted. You were once an orphan. You are now a son. And not just a son or a daughter, but a co-heir with Christ. You were once depressed. You are now set free. You were once fearful. You're now courageous, filled with faith. You were once isolated, alone, weak, weary, and wounded, you're now connected to family, and it's the family of God. And it's not dependent upon anything that we would do except to place our faith and our hope and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What title, what name, what situation, what mindset? Can I ask our prayer team to begin to come forward? We're going to close a little bit differently, but I feel like it's what the Lord would have for us today. I want them to prepare to receive people this morning where there's a name that's been that you've been associated with that's been weighing you down, and today you want to trust God for the grace to see it shift and change to the name of God, to the word of God, to the destiny of God that he would speak over your life. Many of those things that I referenced, maybe one of those things landed in your heart. Perhaps it wasn't one of those things, but the Holy Spirit has shown you. As we begin to worship and declare the name of God above every other name, I want to just encourage you as we prepare to dismiss as soon as this song is over, to just step out from where you are and to come forward and to allow these precious people of God to just join hands with you and begin to speak and declare God's word, God's name, God's purpose, God's identity over you. What title, what name, what mindset, what situation, what stronghold, what sin would you believe God to change today as we begin 2017? Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for speaking to us. Thank you, God, for showing us. Thank you, God, for speaking your name over us this morning as we trust you in faith. Jesus, my name. Worship team, just begin to lead us. And please, step out from your seat this morning. Allow someone to pray for you for one of those issues or anything this morning. I'll be back to dismiss us in just a moment. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Well, Lord, we commit and submit 2017 and all that you've called us to you. We say, Lord, we want more of Jesus. We want more of your heart, more of your plans, more of your ways, more of your purposes, God. For each of us as men and women and young people, Lord, for our marriages, for our homes, for our families, for this church, for this city, more of Jesus in us and through us, oh God. You are the thing that we want. You are the person that we want more than anything else in this world, Lord. So in this first week of 2017, in a fresh way, in a new way, we dedicate ourselves to you. We consecrate ourselves to you. We call upon you, oh God, to be gracious towards us, to speak life and courage to us, oh God, to connect us to all the things and all the ways, Lord, that you would desire to see us, the things you would desire to have us step into and experience and enjoy, and the places you would have us to make a difference in 2017. We trust you, God. We trust you, God. We trust you, God. Well, as we dismiss this morning, if there's something else in your life that you, or maybe it's not even in your life, maybe it's in the life of a friend or a loved one or a coworker or a family member, would you come forward this morning and allow someone to pray for you? Otherwise, I just want to declare a blessing over you, that God would go with you, he would be with you and for you, that there would be courage rising in your heart, that there would be fresh measures of faith for who God has called you to be in 2017, that challenges and things that have held you back, that you would break loose and break free of them, and that you would run into the new things of God, the deeper things of God as we enter into 2017. And just as a reminder, as we close, I want to invite you. It's an invitation. It's an invitation from God to you to join with us as we pray and as we fast and as we call upon God this week on behalf of ourselves and our family and our city and our church and our nation and the world today. And then to culminate next week. Pardon? Oh, yeah. Also, before I dismiss, just want to remind you that we want to have Claire come forward. Claire, where are you? Right there. Claire, come forward. Can I just, if you have it in your heart to join with a team that would pray over her as she prepares to go back overseas this week. This is her final Sunday to be with us. We welcome you to come and to join us as we pray for her. And just, she's such a blessing. We want to just extend blessing and prayer covering over her. So otherwise, God bless you. Happy New Year to you. I pray that faith is rising in your heart for what God desires to do in your life and in our church. To God be the glory for everything. Amen. Amen. One more time, can we just put our hands together for Jesus, for Jesus, for Jesus, for Jesus. Thank you, God. We love you. We're praying for you. We hope to see you around all throughout the week up here at the church and then next Sunday for the Activate services. God bless you. Stand strong. Happy New Year to you.